Hello, and welcome to the podcast, Knowing Jesus Conversations. I'm your host, Dennis Dierdorf. Today I'm again with my friend Scott Wakefield, who you may have heard in our last podcast, entitled This Isn't Who You Are. In that episode, Scott talked with me about his revelation of seeing just who he really is while he was about to partake in a very suggestive activity that he was very used to doing. If you haven't heard it, I suggest that you go back and listen to that episode before going on to today's conversation. It'll give you a good background. Now, since that conversation, Scott posted another article in his blog that further declared his certainty of knowing just who he is in Christ. You can read that blog post at the link provided on the introductory page to our podcast. I sat down with Scott again to ask him to unpack a bit more for us just how he has come to this certainty of knowing who he is in Christ. And you may find this conversation rather challenging to some stereotypical Christian beliefs, but we hope it'll lead you to know just how much you also live as Jesus and just may not know it. So welcome to our conversation today. Listen in, and we trust that you'll be encouraged. If you have any questions, feel free to drop us an email either to myself at dennis.dierdorf@gmail.com or to Scott, and I'll post his email on the introductory page as well. God bless. Hey, Scott, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you again. Your breakfast again.
As it's good to edit.
Always a good conversation. Always a chance to see Christ in each other. So it gives us an opportunity to talk more personally. And Scott's just released a post that was linked over to the Northwest Men's Coalition Facebook page. And I thought it was something that people should really notice. He makes some pretty strong declarations. Scott, you've come to really make a strong affirmation of who you really are. Identity is a big issue with people today, and you're stepping into that whole arena of debate, what really makes a man who we really are. And I want to take this opportunity to kind of unpack that a little bit. Guys will read your post, and so let's look back on it and try to unpack it for them, what you're really meaning by some of those things. The previous podcast was a real delight in getting to hear your personal story. And I would say guys need to go back and listen to that one, hear about how you've come to a place of freedom, where you were realizing through that inner revelation, or that voice, whichever, that something you were really thinking you needed was not really who you were at all. So still feeling that freedom?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a daily walk. I need to keep reminding myself that it's not, as the Apostle John tells us, it's, they are of the world and we are of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's something, yeah, something that I keep reminding myself of every day.
Mm-hmm. Now, in getting to your recent writing, of which, by the way, there's your blog. How many posts have you really?
That's a good 2 years worth. So one of these days, I'm hoping, you know, put that into book form, but mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll work on that.
Okay. Well, and when I read your stuff, I'm
you're one of my best critics, Dennis.
Well, I don't mean to be a critic. It's fun for me to read because what it's illustrating to me is here's someone, like we all are, on a journey. And you're writing about what's happening in your life. You're bringing ever-present situations into a context of who you're learning you are, and this whole understanding of Christ in you, living as Christ. And it's fun to see, yeah, that ever-evolving, exciting. And so the one you just wrote, called The Sum of My Own Measure, of which we've posted, and the link is there on the Facebook page. I want to just take some more time with that. You make a pretty strong statement. You're giving an illustration of seeing the common picture of manhood and how guys arrive at manhood. You're talking about some internet. I don't want you to be specific, but what were these internet videos trying to display?
Basically, where I got the idea to comment or to write on this that I did on yesterday, Saturday, for a while now, maybe a couple of months, I've been following on YouTube. There's a guy out there, it's a younger guy, probably in his late 20s or 30s, and he's basically addressing the way that men should act. We've all heard about the alpha male and the man who the world sees as, you know, the manly man, the guy that the ladies want, the guy who takes care of things and is in charge of everything. And we've all seen that. We've all seen the narrative. So that's basically what my inspiration was for writing yesterday. He goes about and gives the different, you know, the different behaviors to use. He's got a couple of dating and picking up girls and those kind of tips, mm-hmm. which is based, you know, which you and I both know is, you know, that's the world, mm-hmm. the world speaking mm-hmm. through that. Mm-hmm. So that was basically my inspiration for, you know, for my post yesterday.
Yeah. So you saw that video and it caused, you right away, did you make a distinction or something? What was...
Absolutely.
You saw, what were you seeing through with that? What was the thing that...
The first couple of times that I saw this guy's videos, the first thing that came to my mind was, do people actually believe in this?
Yeah.
You know, because I, you know, like, as you and I both know, I mean, I do have that knowledge that Christ is in me. Mm-hmm. And we've gone through many discussions about that. And as I make the point in my post, a lot of the times that I'll watch these videos, it's just to see another point of view. And, you know, for me, it is kind of amusing to see that worldly viewpoint out there, mm-hmm. and that people still pick up on that.
Mm-hmm. Was that something you looked to in past years? Was that something?
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Back with our last podcast that we did when I was relating my past history and my past story, that was my mindset. I was trying to be that guy. I think you and I have used the term poser mm-hmm. from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
That was me.
Yeah.
I was trying to be the guy that the man's man that the world claimed mm-hmm. was who we were.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But something, a new awareness obviously has come about in your consciousness.
Yeah.
That's different from that.
Yeah.
And that awareness is basically that you're not that person, or explain that.
No, I'm not that person. That is the world's point of view. Mm-hmm. You know, the person that I am basically reflects Christ who is in me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that flies in the face of a lot of the teaching and a lot of the traditional worldview of how people should act.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's go back a little bit. How'd you come to that awareness then that video doesn't display who you really are? How did you come to the awareness that you are something different from that, or that who you really are? Where did you come about that?
When I first started watching these videos, I knew, you know, there was a knowing in my heart.
Okay.
Right? You know, I just knew that wasn't me.
All right.
That was, I mean, I was different than that.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was I guess I already knew.
All right.
Who I was inside.
Okay. And so how did you begin to affirm that? How could you come to a place where you know definitely Why are you so positive that you know now who it is that you really are?
I think in order to relate that story, we'd have to go back more than a few years, or you and I were just getting to know each other.
Yeah.
This is back in our church days, and I think I related this story this morning about a sermon that I sat through one Easter Sunday, which is basically I like to call it my turning point as far as my church life goes. But one of the pastors had just finished a sermon that Easter Sunday about how Christ Jesus had died to forgive us of our sins. And at the very end of that sermon, they opened up the Garden of Prayer at the front of the church, at the front of the sanctuary. And he said, if anybody feels like they have any sins that they need to be forgiven, come forward. And I'm standing in one of the pews in the back of the sanctuary, and I'm thinking to myself, here, you just told me that Christ Jesus died and bled on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins, and now you're telling me that I need to go forward and confess something else. I mean, were there sins that Jesus forgot that he didn't forgive? Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the deal?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're seeing somewhat of a confusion there?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's leading you to realize something about who you really are?
It was at that moment where I kind of had that feeling. There's two different versions of Jesus here.
Okay.
There's the Jesus that the pastor wants me to see.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the Jesus who's nudging me, saying, this is who I am.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, for our people who are listening here today, they might not see that connection so much. For you, it was how God was making you aware.
Yeah.
It may not be the same awareness that others are coming to that are realizing who they are, but when you were confronted in that situation, here you are confronted with the idea that you still needed to correct or deal with some sin in your life. And so that was suggesting that you're still a sinner. You're still somebody that's very much needing help from God, and you're separate from God. You need to keep close to Him.
Yeah.
That image, though, apparently wasn't working for you.
The idea that I had of being separate from God, which is the traditional church teaching, I carried that with me for the first couple of years after I left the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I was basically looking for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you and I kept in contact, for those couple of years after I left.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically a period of searching for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And trying to find out, you know, who it was, mm-hmm. who I was.
Okay. All right. So in the role of that person you were confronted with on the video image, it comes to me, Scott, that what you saw represented in that video is a guy trying to perfect himself, trying to deal with his image and trying to better that image. Isn't that the same as what was confronted with you at the church that night? Come deal with who you are, and we're here to help you be a different person. So wasn't that guy you saw in the internet, wasn't he basically the same as the man that you were told you needed to correct on that night in the Garden of Prayer, or morning, whenever it was? I don't know if you're seeing that, but that's what's coming to me. This is what the church is teaching us. This is what Christianity is teaching us. You need to be a better man, and the way you do that is to constantly come and confess yourself and get rid of imperfections and all of that. And you were having difficulty with that, the same way I think you were having difficulty with the picture of that poser, as you say, and I agree, in the video.
Yeah.
But who are you really? Are you that person who needs to confess every day?
Knowing what I know now, no. That's that's not who I am. But back then was before I had started started on my journey as, you know, with a relationship with Christ.
Okay. Okay.
So hearing, you know, back then I'm just a regular churchgoer, you know, hanging on the words of the pastor.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay.
And to hear the pastor say that, and then.
Mm-hmm. So your relationship, growing in an understanding of who you are in relationship with Christ, you were seeing the distinction back then.
Yeah.
In that common scene in the church, and then brought to date here with seeing the videos, and you're saying, wait a minute, there's something, this isn't matching up with who I really know I am now.
For some reason, with that church service that I look back on as my turning point, what I heard in that service that morning made me feel uncomfortable. And the reason that it made me feel uncomfortable, because momentarily, I don't want to say, you know, that it's, I had held that viewpoint, but momentarily, I saw Christ as a liar.
Hmm, yeah.
And basically what he was saying was, yes, I died for your sins, and I died so that you would be forgiven, but mm-hmm. now you need to confess mm-hmm. for what you've done.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I see that. It is a real conflict it's a conflict in understanding who he really was. Is he
yeah.
a liar? Is he done one thing, but he says, no, that's not enough?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it does present a real problem to most people in Christianity. So what's happened, though, since that time and really helping you realize, oh, I'm not that person that needs to go to that garden of prayer every day and confess. Where did you find who you really are then? Okay, so you saw there was something in that message that wasn't quite connecting. So then where was it you began to find the true image of Christ and who you are, where you were in Christ? Can you relate that to me? Where was that starting to happen, or your eyes opened up?
It wasn't until I first started reconnecting with you after I left the church.
Yeah.
I think that was after you retired.
Yeah.
Where I started to be confronted with another image of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Another image of who he was.
Yeah.
He wasn't this far off deity
mm-hmm.
that I have been taught most of my life of, you know, what he is.
Yeah.
I can actually have that relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard one of our other brothers, David Fulton,
mm-hmm.
back then, talk about that, talk about having a relationship
mm-hmm.
with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I began, you know, I was curious. I said, well, how can I have a relationship with someone that I can't see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was, you know, that was part of my initial curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I started asking you questions.
Mm-hmm.
And you would tell me, you know, from your thoughts and your teachings, that, yeah, Christ isn't disconnected from us. He's
mm-hmm.
been here all along.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's what got my curiosity going as to how I could have what you have.
Okay. Do you remember any particular scriptures that I may have referred you to?
The key scripture that I remember, and I still go back to this today, is Galatians 2:20.
Ah, yeah.
How, you know, I've died. It's not I who live, but mm-hmm. Christ who lives in me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then I got into the next question, and I'm pinching myself and I'm feeling myself like Thomas did to Jesus.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you mean I died? I'm still here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so that verse, and there are others, of which the verse that really, I have to say, spoke to me and turned my whole theology upside down was Colossians 1:27, where Paul tries to explain a mystery that he's been given stewardship of, and that is that Christ actually lives in us. It's the mystery that's it's defining, it becomes the defining verse of Paul's theology, as well as Galatians 2:20, and what you refer to. And he makes an audacious statement there that we no longer live, that it's Christ living in us.
Yeah.
And that's who we really are. Now, what happened to us? Where did we go? Why aren't we living anymore? As this old person that needs to confess and needs to become somebody and needs to try to work on all those issues, what happened to that person?
It's my belief that that person who died was our old nature.
Okay.
That was the nature that we were born with, the mm-hmm. sin nature. Mm-hmm. That was our, what we carried over from the fall.
Yeah.
That was what needed to be put to death.
Okay.
In order for Christ to come through in us.
Okay. And so when did that happen then? When did we, that old nature or old man really, when did it die?
At the cross.
Okay. And now you say at the cross, so we were there?
From what I've learned from you, yeah, we were there.
Yeah. Now, don't blame it on me.
No, it's...
But that's what Scripture, what Galatians 2:20 is saying. I am crucified with Christ.
Yeah.
Right? So what we're saying there is that somehow we were there with Christ in the cross,
mm-hmm.
at the cross. He dies, we die. So that old nature that always has to be confessing and is always trying to pose and be someone that, trying to be someone, is really...
It's dead.
He put it all away on the cross. It's dead.
Yeah.
Now, I've read that scripture and did for years and years and years, and I didn't take too much stock in it. I thought, well, that's something that maybe is figurative. It's not really literal. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And as we look at that, as a lot of times we look at scripture and say, yeah, did God really say that? And so we doubt it. But when our eyes are open and we finally see it, wow.
Remember the lie of Satan in the garden as he's speaking to Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Did God really say
yeah.
that you shouldn't
yeah.
do what you're doing?
Okay. Yeah. It's the same kind of thing. We look at those scriptures and we doubt them and we say, no, that really didn't happen. I'm mm-hmm. still very much alive today.
Yeah.
Right? But what we have to listen to is what God is saying, no, you no longer live. It's not you living. It's Christ. If we look at that verse, Galatians 2:20, that's a powerful statement, an open admission of Paul, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's hard to get your head around, okay? So what really triggered that for you in getting your head around that statement?
What really triggered it for me was not something that happened. I can't point to a moment that actually mm-hmm. I began to realize that, hey, this isn't who I am. It was more of a process
mm-hmm.
where I really believe that it was Father who revealed to me,
hey, okay.
this is who you are now.
Yeah.
In our last recording, I remember that I went through that, you know, that moment when I was still going and acting in the world, and I came up to that club here in Southeast Portland, and as soon as I got to the door, it was just like somebody standing right behind me, and what I heard or what I felt in my spirit is, this isn't who you are.
Wow. See,
and guess what? I left.
and you've tried to go back, maybe.
Oh yeah, no. I'll admit there have been occasions where I've driven by a couple mm-hmm. of those places,
yeah,
old haunts that I used to spend my nights at, and no, I don't feel that desire.
Yeah. So you're becoming aware that you're somebody different, and is that awareness? Is that where we're talking? The awareness is beginning, and you're beginning to see, I'm not that person that's going after those things anymore. There's something else driving me here. There's something else that's defining my identity.
That's why That's a good point, because that's why I can look at these internet videos of the guy who's trying to be the alpha male, who's trying to be the, you know, the man, mm-hmm. the image of the man that everybody desires, mm-hmm. and I can find humor in it.
Yeah.
Because I know, you know, it's, you know, deep inside,
it's
I know
humorous that, and it's sad.
That I can find humor in that, because I know, you know, from my personal experience from the Father's revelation, that mm-hmm. there's something more there.
Okay. See, and now, boy, this is not going to be accepted readily by some of our listeners. Isn't this the same kind of teaching that we give in the church about manhood, though?
I look back at a book. You probably know the author, The Wild at Heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I look back at the Wild at Heart book, mm-hmm. and, you know, to me, that's the same message that we're giving mm-hmm. to, mm-hmm. you know, that the world is giving. This is how the man is.
Yeah. Yeah.
The man is he's the manly man. He's the mm-hmm. he's the guy that goes out there and takes care of things.
Yeah.
And it's he and he alone that does mm-hmm. the. Mm-hmm. That takes care mm-hmm. of business.
Yeah. Now, the book, of course, that you're referring to is John Eldridge, Wild at Heart.
And but that was a book that the church was pushing.
And I don't want to take anything away from John's message there. It greatly revolutionized our thinking about God and who we are and His love and how He's created us. And it's a great message and still will be. It kind of unlocked, though, some things. Unfortunately, what it's done is left us with what you're saying, that, oh, this is how we become better, or this is how we become the man that God has created us to be.
Yeah.
And where it didn't help is to hear this message that you're saying here today, you're witnessing in your own life. It didn't help you realize, wait a minute, I don't have to try to be that person that God has created me to be. I already am.
Yeah.
What a huge shift. I already am. This is who I am in Christ.
If Eldridge had come out in his book and made, you know, and made that claim and simply made the statement, you can be the man mm-hmm. that Father wants you, that Father created you to be, mm-hmm. and then built off of that, mm-hmm. that would have been a great story.
Mm-hmm. Insofar as John wrote, and I want to be real fair, I love John's writings, and I'm sure you do too. Wild at Heart was a great piece, and his
yes.
materials are still very much helpful. But you're right, there is that point in which we're looking for the message to take one more step.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, you are this creation. God has given you this adventurous desire and save the woman and all of those things. That's who you are. But the person who you really were, that's Jesus.
And where was his, you know, if you probably already know, but where was his description of the man, you know, the man that he wrote in that book, where was that drawn from?
Well, it's coming out of in my mind, it was coming out of the male psychology of the day.
Exactly.
And there was a lot of writing that was current in those days about the male, the masculine soul, and
yeah.
who, you know, trying to define that and trying to find where guys are. But if we take that, we can only go so far with that mm-hmm. before we realize that's empty in itself. We have to make that jump into, well, wait a minute. Yes, those are the attributes that I've been created to have and should learn who I, but it's not really me.
Right.
If we go back to the scriptures, Romans 6:11, 6:6, Paul tells us that old person you were trying to be
is gone.
Is dead. It's toast.
Mm-hmm.
It's nailed to the cross. It's dead. It was put in a tomb. It's there forever. It's gone. So the person that lives right now is really Jesus. That's who came out of the grave.
Yeah.
So if he took us to the cross and we were killed with him, see, this is where a lot of people also get hung up.
We still get a lot of blank looks when we try and explain that.
Making this stretch that we were there in him. But see, he's kind of like our grandfather in that everything that you know, like my grandfather's great back were pioneers to this area.
Yeah.
All right. I was in my grandfather's loins when he settled this country, mm-hmm. this area, this region, Oregon, we're talking about, okay, as a pioneer.
Yeah.
I was in him. I came out of him. So whatever he did as a pioneer in settling this area, I was there.
Yeah, you're part of that lineage.
Exactly, and that's the same way we need to see of Christ. So if I died, Christ went to the cross, and I am in him, he says so in Scripture, he took me to the cross, and this is where people also get confused. They think, well, Jesus just died for me. That's the message we hear a lot of in teaching. Christ died for your sins. No, he didn't
die. That's part of what creates the separation also.
Exactly. No, he didn't just die for me. He died with me. I'm in him dying on the cross, so I die in that tomb.
Mm-hmm.
But when he comes out, guess what? I'm in him when he rose again.
Yeah.
So that's who I really live as now.
I could not have had that experience that I had that night. Outside that club,
mm-hmm.
when I was, you know, getting ready to go and do manly things again,
yeah,
you know, Scott, the manly man. This is mm-hmm. this is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't have had that experience outside that club that night if I hadn't had an intimate relationship with him.
And you, when you say relationship, are you saying
he was there with me?
Yeah. Okay. So you were understanding, or there was an awareness of your life in him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually you that's saying, no, Scott, this isn't who you are.
And to put it in perspective, I like to use the perspective that, yeah, Christ lives through me.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I see, he sees.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I feel, he feels.
Wow. Yeah.
And I go back to that night and I think back and I say, you know, even to this day when I drive by
mm-hmm.
those old places I used to go to.
Yeah.
And I'll ask myself, does he really want to see?
Mm-hmm.
Does he really want to see this?
Mm-hmm. Wow. See, that alone, that principle or that understanding is enough to help a lot of guys. Wait a minute. I'm living as Christ. So does he really want to see this? Does he really want to do this?
Yeah.
Wow. But that then sometimes resorts to, okay, I got to quit this. I got to stop this. Because Jesus doesn't want me to do this. But and so that's, again, where the understanding needs to come into full orb. We have to say, no, it's not a matter of me, okay, I've got to correct something. It's me getting to a more of a clear understanding of who I really am.
Yeah.
Okay.
We talked a little bit about this morning at breakfast about our misbehaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people will look at us, you and I, who will say that Christ is in us and mm-hmm. we are Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and they'll see us with our human mm-hmm. our human behaviors, our human misbehaviors, and they'll look at us and say, well, how can you be Jesus if you're acting the way that you are?
Yeah, there's a real disconnect for people, most people, because here again, and we need to talk more about this and unpack this for our listeners and even in our own minds. We've conjured up this idea that Jesus is absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
Well, that flies in the face of the scriptures that it says he became us. He became sin.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and
Jesus became sin on that cross for us.
Mm-hmm. So if he's living in us now, he apparently has absorbed that sin, whatever we call the appearance of sin, he absorbs it in himself. Now, we'll get to that and talk more at length about that. Because this is the other big rub, and it's precisely the rub that says to people, that says to you from people, no, wait a minute. You claim you're Christ, and you're still messing up? How do you deal with people who reject you in this regard? How do you deal with that rejection?
It's hard sometimes,
mm-hmm.
because I try to be the best man that you know, in Christ that I can be.
Yeah.
But I'm human. I'm a guy. Yeah. I'm gonna have misbehaviors, as you well know.
Yeah.
You know, I brag sometimes. I
mm-hmm. okay.
Yeah, that's but just
it's you like, being human.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, is it you trying to do you have to correct that? If you don't live. you don't exist.
No.
So we have to conclude then that what's happening here is Jesus.
Yeah.
And we have to...
All in all, he has his hands on that.
If he's good with that, all right, so be it. All right? I know this is hard for people to take, but it's...
I still have trouble understanding it.
But it is the very thing that we've got to come to deal with, because what it comes down to is how we view God and how we view Christ in God, how we view our life in him, and what has happened in this transaction. And so when people reject you, do you doubt yourself as Christ?
No.
Okay. Did they reject Jesus?
Yeah.
And on, wasn't it on the very grounds, the same as your feeling?
Yeah, he's when Jesus claimed that one of the biggest rejections of Christ was that he claimed that he and the Father were the same.
Exactly. And they couldn't get it through their heads. Wait a minute. You're from this low town, lowbrow town called Nazareth. Nobody good comes out of Nazareth. And here you are acting like you are the all authority. You brag and you boast and all of those things are still very much the things that we see you doing, but how, and you call yourself God?
Don't remember the other one. All, you know, don't forget the other one also is that Jesus can't be in the presence of sin.
Exactly. Yeah. So how are we dealing with that? See, people can't come to understand what that really, because their view of God is still this perfect, superhuman, all high, all glorious. And here again, this is something we need to further develop in conversations, because yeah, right away people, wait a minute, that's contrary to all the scriptures where God cannot be in the place of sin, and he's the all-perfect, holy God, and all of those things are written and are true right there in scripture, but we have to get the right place. Is that out of the old covenant, or is this the new covenant? Which are we talking here? What's the context? So that's more things we need to unlock. But for the present, I think what we want to have our hearers hear this morning is that there is another identity.
Mm-hmm.
That the thing we're seeing in life, the videos, and even in church, that presents us, that we are still needing to perfect ourselves, still needing to forgive ourselves or get God's forgiveness. We still have this other nature living
Jesus,
in us.
Jesus took care of all that.
There is another identity.
Yeah.
And that identity is to learn who we really are in him.
One thing that I'd like to write about, you know, in one of my posts in the future is, you know, trying to wrap my understanding around the point that, you know, Christ is in me.
Mm-hmm.
He came to, you know, to dwell inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't change who I am.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah.
That didn't change the physical attributes that God created in me.
Wow. Do you think he actually wants those attributes? In other words, he created you that way? Is those attributes what he wants to use or shine through or exhibit himself through?
He can use the attributes that I have to show himself to others.
You and I are vessels.
Yeah.
Created like as we are, with certain traits, certain looks, say, you know, passions, all these things are uniquely created in us.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a package that God has created specifically to show off another aspect of himself?
Mm-hmm.
This is who you are. I want you to be good with who you are, because this is who I created you to be. You're the image of me.
If Jesus had a problem with me, which I don't think he does, but
no.
If he did have a problem with me,
yeah,
and my imperfections and how I act and how I see things,
mm-hmm,
why would he come to dwell in me?
Yeah, right. But the message is, and you know this well, Scott, the message is we have to get our life cleaned up before God will ever live in us.
That's the message coming from the church, yes.
Yes, unfortunately, that's the message. We have to be cleaned up. Our vessel has to be swept and cleaned before God ever comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Which is totally switched around from what God sees. No, I like the way you are. And you are already cleaned up because of what Christ has done in the cross. You died, that old nature, that sinful nature, that all died in the cross.
Yeah. I look at the scripture in Romans 6 where Christ died to sin once for all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is no more sin.
Yeah, sin's a non-entity. Now, that's making a pretty bold claim for a church that continues to teach.
Oh, yeah.
That it's no sin is your problem.
Yeah.
Well, if sin is a non-entity...
Tell that to the guy I got mad at in the freeway the other day.
This is not sin, brother. Yeah. So if you find yourself showing off or being in the appearance of sin, wow. That is
that's
major
gonna,
disconnect for people, don't understanding what that really is.
That's going to be a separate recording.
I think. We're going to need to unpack that some more because people, this is a big issue. And it goes back, guys, we talked earlier this morning. It goes back to the issue in the very beginning when Adam says, no, I want to look like this all perfect, all glorious being of the enemy, and that's what I choose to look for, and that's what I choose to look be. And so we'll explain
and which,
more.
Which one was that?
Yeah, we know which one that really was. Well, hey, we probably uncovered enough controversial boxes here, Scott, this morning, and
we got a habit of getting ourselves into that.
We're going to leave this, but hey, there'll be more, and we just say to our listeners here, hang in, and you can write to us, you can call us or whatever, but in the meantime, hang in there. We're going to continue to have this conversation for people to listen to, and if you want to have, the addresses are there, the email address is there. For anybody to contact either me or Scott and to learn more about this. So, Scott, thanks for sharing again with me and taking time to unpack this whole new relationship, this new understanding of who we really are in Christ. And it's a powerful, powerful thing. I see what's happening in your life, and I know what the transition is, how what is occurring. Continue to write the good stuff you're writing. And your journey with your unfolding understanding of who you really are. Keep it up, man.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. See you later.